keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, joined by executive producer Will Haynes. And we have a great show for you today. We're going to be hitting a lot of topics. We're going to have some great guests. A lot coming up, Will.
That's right. And we really wanted to focus on some of the foreign policy stuff today. Earlier this week, we focused a lot on some domestic things, on some politics, whether it be 2024 or the bank issue. But we also don't want to neglect that there's a lot going on in the foreign policy world. And a lot of that has to do with China. We mentioned earlier in the week that China is making these ties, these big ties with Russia and with facilitating a deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So we're going to have some of our experts on to kind of break down a lot of this stuff that's been going on with China and what it means really for the American people.
Yeah, and we couldn't have these experts like Mike Pompeo and Rick Grenell. You know, you have incredible people from previous political administrations, White Houses, that have come aboard with the ACLJ, and it doesn't happen without supporters like you. So they're going to be joining us later in this broadcast, but we are in the middle of our matching challenge, and I don't want to lose sight of that as well, which we can't do this without you. So if you have a minute and you are thinking about where you're going to put your resources, the ACLJ is a great place to do it. All you have to do is go to aclj.org, make any donation. If you $5, $25, $50, so on and so on and so on, any donation made is matched by another donor who is out there ready to match. Essentially, they have pledged that amount and they are waiting for your donation. Once your donation is made, it unlocks their matching donation. So really great. It's a great time to support. If you've ever thought about supporting our work, this is a perfect time to do it. Again, later on in the broadcast, we are going to be talking with Mike Pompeo and Rick Grenell. We're also going to be talking about what's going on, as you said, in China, what's going on the international front. We do spend a lot of time on the work that we do domestically, but we have offices around the world. Some we can talk about, some we don't talk about. But you can find out so much more information. You can watch all of our incredible videos. You can read incredible blogs and news stories by some of these top leaders by just going to aclj.org. It's really simple. Will, you go to aclj.org, download all of this content, read, get engaged. Not only just support the work, obviously follow us on our social media platforms and all of that, but there is a treasure trove of content there that I think a lot of people maybe take for granted.
And a lot of the experts you hear on air here or on our social channels also are writing for the website. So not only Mike Pompeo, but Harry Hutchison, Wes Smith, Jordan, and your dad have articles up all the time about all this content, about all these stories, about all these policy issues that we care about and are engaged on, as well as things like the victory we saw this week where we got a consent decree against the Smithsonian. None of that can help without your help at aclj.org by making that gift.
Well, in this broadcast, we try to break down a lot of it, and same with on the website, into sort of terms we can all understand. It's easy. We're a legal organization to get caught up in sort of the legal mumbo-jumbo that maybe you're not comfortable with. You read and you go, I don't know what this means, what that means. We have a great team of writers who take some of these expert voices also and make sure it's actually understandable. That's something that I find very important. We have great writers who can break it down for you and for me. So us who are not lawyers can really understand the incredible work that's going on and find out stuff about like what's happening in China, the influence that they're having on our nation, and what we can do to help change that and change minds here at the ACLJ. Again, I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ by going to aclj.org. Go there right now. Make a donation. Your gifts are doubled this month. It doesn't mean when you give $10, you're getting charged $20. It means when you give $10, another person, another incredible donor, another incredible ACLJ member matches that donation. And we could not do it without you. Again, coming up later in the broadcast, Rick Grenell will be joining us. You always enjoy when he is on. A lot of great information coming from him and from Mike Pompeo. Again, two of our members of the ACLJ who've been with us for the last few years, and we couldn't do it without you. So again, visit aclj.org. If you're watching on Rumble right now, I encourage you to hit that follow button to tell your friends, because we're growing and growing on Rumble. I want to thank them for all of their support over the last few years. An incredible operation going on there. Really like those guys over at Rumble. All right, we'll be right back with more on Seculo.
to Senkyo. We are taking your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. We are talking about the news that a second intelligence agency within the U.S. government has concluded that COVID-19 pandemic most likely came from a lab leak. This time it was the Department of Energy and their intelligence department. First, it's been the FBI who came out and said they also said the FBI, the virus likely spread via a mishap at the Chinese lab. This is a huge 180-degree turnaround from, or 360-degree turnaround from really where we were back in 2020 with the Faucis of the world and the talking heads of the world who told us with certainty, that this could not have come from a lab. This had to have just originated in a wet market in China. It certainly didn't come from the research they were funding with some of your taxpayer dollars, which Congress is investigating now. Rick Rennell is joining us. He is our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security. He was the acting director of national intelligence. I mean, Rick, just your overall first reaction to yet another agency within the intel world coming out and saying, you know what, it's likely this had nothing to do with the wet market and everything to do with the lab in China.
Look, they already said this. This is a very confusing mess right now. And I will say this. Jennifer Granholm, the Secretary of Energy, is politicizing intelligence. She needs to get a handle on her intelligence community. She needs to read the April 30th, 2020 intelligence community-wide assessment. It's clear in that assessment from April 30th, 2020, that the media totally ignored, that I negotiated this statement from all intelligence agencies. We had to change verbs. We had to change nouns. We had to change everything in order to get all intelligence agencies to sign off. And the intelligence community concluded that COVID started in Wuhan, either in the lab through a leak, which, by the way, they don't believe was on purpose. This is what the intelligence community said. So a mistake lab leak, or a lab animal somehow getting transmitted to a human. And there were differing opinions about whether or not that lab animal was eaten, whether someone touched it. But it all stemmed to the Wuhan lab, either a lab leak by mistake or a lab animal. This is what the intelligence community said in April 30th, 2020. Read the statement. It's still on the DNI website.
So, Rick, let me follow that up, because they're saying that they classify these things as moderate confidence, low confidence. But the fact is, even under the low confidence, they said that points to that all the evidence is pointing to at this point that this was a lab leak situation. Now, as you said, there's no evidence right now. As far as your understanding is, without divulging anything, you can't. Is there any evidence pointing it one way or another, whether that lab leak was intentional or not, or is that still pretty much unknown?
Look, I haven't been briefed on a daily basis for a very long time, so I don't want to go out and say where they are. But let me be clear about one thing. The intelligence agencies always have a level of confidence, but they do not sign on to a public statement unless they agree. And so it's very important for people to understand that we negotiated this IC-wide statement.
Right.
We had different, more confident words that were taken out by some agencies,
right,
because they said we can only sign on to what we believe. This document from April 30th, 2020 that I negotiated is a signed off document by the intelligence community. Why would Avril Haines still have this document on the DNI website? Because it still stands as truth.
You know, Rick, I wanted to ask you this, because President Trump said this way back in 2020, this is, in March, April of 2020, he was clear about it, and yet the media, the press, the talking heads would not accept it. Take a listen by 23.
We're looking at exactly where it came from, who it came from, how it happened, separately and also scientifically. So we're going to be able to find it.
And my question is, have you seen anything at this point that gives you a high degree of confidence that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was the origin of this virus?
Yes, I have.
So we were being told this in plain sight, and so was the media, Rick, and they still would not buy into that theory. They had to go into the theory that this was an accident,
in
an accident in a wet market. This was no way it was man-made or created by, you know, created in a lab?
Now, look, we were fed a line by the media because we were in the midst of an election. Let's be honest about it. They wanted to create fear and chaos because they wanted to defeat Donald Trump. And they saw this as a way to start sending ballots to people, telling them to stay home, and we'll just send you a ballot in the mail. That is literally what their strategy was when they saw this. I'm sorry that we don't have enough media in Washington, D.C. to ask Jennifer Granholm what's changed from April 30th. There is only one thing that could have changed, and that is the intent. Because that statement is clear that COVID started in China, it started in Wuhan, and it started by an accident, because that is what the intelligence community on April 30th believed, Rick, that it was an accident.
Rick, let me take it to the next step, because I look at this thing from a legal perspective on culpability and liability. Here's one thing we do know. An organization I have no confidence in, World Health Organization, said China is not cooperating with access and data, that they're keeping that data away from the World Health Organization, which just tells me that this is, and as we've suggested, that this is China's culpability here is clear one way or another. They are the ones liable for what became wreaked havoc on the rest of the planet. And like I said, I lost a brother to this disease.
Let me be very clear. We've always known since the early days of COVID. Remember, I was acting DNI in the early days of COVID when it first came onto our radar. The reality is we always knew that the Communist Party in China was in charge and covering this up. We know this. I can't go into all of the proof and all of the intelligence, but there is not a single person with a top secret security clearance that would ever say that China did not cover this up very aggressively. And many American politicians fell into their trap. And they had to have defensive briefings by the FBI to say, wake up, you're being used by China during this COVID process. This is a reality. Anyone with a top secret security clearance will tell you this. I urge people to go to the DNI website and find the April 30th, 2020. I've tweeted it out, the statement. It's very clear Jennifer Granholm is manipulating intelligence, and some reporter in Washington needs to ask her, why did the Department of Energy sign off on the statement on April 30th, 2020, and now you're pretending like something's new? We had entire IC-wide agreement about Wuhan.
You know, this to me, I think it's very telling, Rick, because it does confuse people, because on one hand, we're told this is what we kind of believe, this is the assessment. Then we're told, like, it's breaking news, the same assessment, and it's the reasoning behind it. I think that's what people try to figure out, is what is the purpose of another agency in Washington saying what the FBI said to the public and coming out yet again? Why, and isn't that the role of what your job was for people at DNI is to put all these intelligence agencies together so that when they speak with a voice that is singular, especially on issues that's so huge, not just to the U.S., but the world.
Let me push back a little bit on that, Jordan, because it's incredibly difficult to get an intelligence community-wide assessment. We have too many intelligence agencies that just stick to certain things, for instance, at the State Department or in other places. Those intelligence officials only kind of do think of it as their cone. And so when you ask them to comment on the assessment when it comes to something like COVID, many of them will say, well, we don't monitor that. We're not saying no. It's just right. That's not something that we can sign off on. We had to be very careful on how we got the intelligence community assessment wide. Let me just finish with this. People need to be very sophisticated about the intelligence community. When you see an IC-wide statement, that is all the intelligence agencies agreeing, that is a very big deal. When you see raw intelligence, that's untested. That's something that we don't know is actually true,
right,
but somebody might have said something. It can be gossip. It can be a foreigner saying something that's wrong, but we heard them say it. And so this is the problem with leaks, is that anonymous leaks for partisan purposes go to reporters. Reporters report things that are untested, unverified, not IC-wide. To get the intelligence community, IC, to get the entire IC community to agree to something is incredibly difficult.
Rick, we appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. As always, your support of the ACLJ and all these issues that we just discussed in this segment are really critical. This is how we engage on these issues. And that's where your support comes. And I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and stand with us in our matching challenge campaign. Jordan's going to lay out how that works for you, but it's really important that we hear from you.
What we do is we have a group of donors that are loyal to ACLJ that come together and say, we will match the donations that come through in the month of March to ACLJ. So if you make a $50 donation right now at ACLJ.org, that group of donors will match that donation. So you have to take the initial action for them to, of course, for the match to occur. At ACLJ.org, right on the homepage, you'll see Matching Challenge. It takes a couple of minutes to donate at ACLJ.org. Be a part of that match.
Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your calls on the DeSantis v. Trump fight that's starting to break out pretty hardcore. But we are going to be moving on for just a brief second. I don't know if you're watching. If you're watching on Rumble or YouTube or Facebook, you saw a video package that we ran during our commercial break about a win, essentially, that has happened, or at least movement that has happened in our fight against the Smithsonian. You may remember during the March for Life, there's a group of kids who were out there at the Smithsonian, at the National Archives, and they got met with some pretty angry security guards who told them to take off their pro-life beanies that literally were just blue and said pro-life in their school name. And maybe one woman was told to take off her sweatshirt.
That was at Archives, right?
At the Archives. Yep. You know, it became an all-out kind of assault on not only freedom of speech, but of course people who are pro-life. And they were definitely targeted for being pro-life. And we have a bit of an update and something that, again, we always like to present you with not only what's going on in the trouble, but also when there's hope in Washington, D.C., when there's movement in Washington, D.C., and it seems like there is some.
So this is following the victory we did have with the National Archives, where we got a consent order in that case. But similarly, with the Smithsonian case, we have a consent order, and you can put it up on the screen for the audience to see. But what it says is that there's a consent to preliminary injunction. It is hereby ordered that, pursuant Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 65A, defendants, their officers, successors in office, employees, and agents are preliminarily enjoined from prohibiting visitors to the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum from wearing hats or other clothing with messages, including religious or political speech, so long as the visitor's conduct is otherwise in compliance with Smithsonian policy, which preliminary injunction shall terminate upon the earliest of final judgment in this action, further order by this court, or January 19th, 2025. They also are ordered to distribute this consent order to all security officers. So it's a win.
Yeah.
The case isn't over.
Yeah, the case keeps going. But what they're saying is, in the meantime, they're saying, hey, we're not going to censor people from attending our facilities wearing a pro-life message or any political or religious message, which is what it should be. Everyone knows this. It should have been that way to begin with. And guess what? Legally, it probably was. But these, excluding people who are causing issues, which were not these kids. Were not the adults even that were supervising. You're talking about people that were coming from the March for Life. They were there. The biggest march on Washington about the pro-life movement. First one since Roe versus Wade overturned. And then they were like, hey, we're in Washington, D.C. We should probably, you know, check out some sites. And they went to see the Smithsonian, went to the National Archives, and were abruptly told to not only change, but got very aggressive, got profanity laced. And thankfully, they see the error of their ways. And because of organizations like the ACLJ, specifically us, I'll just say our organization, the ACLJ, we're able to fight against this, get it in national media, get it in front of Fox News crowd, get it all over the planet so people know what how this injustice is happening and how they can fight back. And sometimes, you at least win.
And what seemed to be a pattern in D.C. on this day, because we saw it at multiple agencies, we got the first clients at the Smithsonian, and then we had other clients at National Archives. But we went to action, something that would have just been brushed aside or maybe they go back home and they're upset about it. They don't know what to do, but they don't have the resources to go get a lawyer to then go back and sue. That's what the ACLJ is here for. Because of the members of the ACLJ, we are able to provide this legal aid to these students at no cost to them. And we have some of the greatest lawyers in the world. and they went immediately to work. They sued both the National Archives and the Smithsonian, and they were able to negotiate this consent order. That means that the Smithsonian was like, okay, we know that we can't let this happen again because you're suing us, so we're going to go ahead and consent. And this was presented jointly by the ACLJ and the Smithsonian to the court for the court to order and sign off on. So it is a really big win, but the Smithsonian was never going to do that if it weren't for the ACLJ lawyers going to work.
No, what they were hoping was that they kick these kids out and no one ever said anything. These kids go home sad and they have a story to tell about how they got kicked out of the Smithsonian, but that's not what we do here. For no cost, we took on this case and looks like we are on the winning side, as you would expect and hope from your government, that they would not censor the speech of those who are pro-life or those who are have any political leanings, as long as they're not carrying out violence or anything like that in these places. You can have the freedom of speech to say what you want. These were not profane. These were not graphically violent. These were just beanies, blue beanies, if you, you know, that just said pro-life. That's it. But that was enough to cause a whole stir. We were able to take it to court, still fighting for it. The case continues, as Will said. And we don't do that for free without your support. This show doesn't happen without your support. And how does that work? Well, right now we're in the middle of our matching challenge for the month of March. I know it's spring break. You're thinking about, you know, maybe you're like President Trump and you're like thinking of the sunshines and the beaches. We all are. I know I am. But the work continues. And we really could use your support right now. All you need to do is go to aclj.org. You don't have to do anything extra. Just make a donation. And at that point, it essentially unlocks a matching donation. There's already a group of donors ready. And they are ready to match any donation that comes in the month of March. So whether, and look, this the backbone of our organization, I've said this before, I want to say it again, is not multi-million dollar donors who come and fund this whole thing. Sure, there are great, large donors that do help. But that is not the backbone. This runs on $10, $25, $40, $50 donations. That's how all of this happens. And I know I say all of this, you could think we're in like a closet somewhere. If you could turn around and see, we are in a massive multimedia facility. We have offices in Washington, D.C. and around the world fighting for you and fighting for your rights. So we ask you to give a donation during this month of March. I know it's tough. I know it's a tough time. I know it's economically scary when banks are collapsing and all this stuff is happening. But you have $5, we could really appreciate it even. Go to aclj.org, make that donation today. Phone lines are completely jammed right now, which I haven't been able to say in a long time. You know what? A lot of you guys watch digitally now, which I love. Most of you are not, you know, sitting there calling in. A lot of you are watching on Rumble or YouTube or Facebook. And right now, if you are watching on one of those outlets, I'm going to ask you to do one thing because the phone lines are jammed. I'm going to ask you to do something that's absolutely free, but really does help us. If you're watching on Rumble, click that follow button. It's essentially subscribing. Follow. We do this show Monday through Friday every day. If you're watching it right now live, you'll see it within this hour every day, Monday through Friday. If you are on Facebook, if you are on YouTube, follow, like, subscribe. You know what to do. I don't have to walk you through all of this. You know what to do. Hit the bell. Do that whole thing. That really helps get the word out there because this is a fully independent broadcast. There is no big network behind us pushing this broadcast. This is fully independent. No one's telling us what we have to say or can say or can't say. The only thing maybe deciding what we can and can't say is just because the first or because the show also is aired on 1,000 radio stations. So sure, there are things that we can't say because the FCC, there are things we probably wouldn't say to begin with. But there are no, there's no, you know, corporate overlord. And with that, we're a fully independent broadcast. And we can only do that with your support by liking, sharing, and of course, any donations that come in at aclj.org. Coming up in the next segment, we'll reset a bit and we're going to start taking these phone calls and talk a bit more, not only about the work of the ACLJ, but go back to our discussion because everyone's asking about it, of this sort of Trump v. DeSantis v. Biden. Where should your attention go? Is it too early? Is the infighting ridiculous? Do you like it? Do you not like it? I'm starting to finally see some people on both sides kind of starting to argue it out in the comments. I'm trying to monitor it while we're doing this broadcast. We have one line open actually right now. So you know what? This is your chance. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. If you are listening on terrestrial radio and you don't get the next half hour, we are broadcasting live right now. Turn off your radio. Go to Rumble right now or go to aclj.org. We are broadcasting uncensored and unfiltered on aclj.org. Donations right now. Matched in the month of March. We'll be right back with another half hour.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, joined by executive producer Will Haynes. And we have a great show for you today. We're going to be hitting a lot of topics. We're going to have some great guests. A lot coming up, Will.
That's right. And we really wanted to focus on some of the foreign policy stuff today. Earlier this week, we focused a lot on some domestic things, on some politics, whether it be 2024 or the bank issue. But we also don't want to neglect that there's a lot going on in the foreign policy world. And a lot of that has to do with China. We mentioned earlier in the week that China is making these ties, these big ties with Russia and with facilitating a deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So we're going to have some of our experts on to kind of break down a lot of this stuff that's been going on with China and what it means really for the American people.
Yeah, and we couldn't have these experts like Mike Pompeo and Rick Grenell. You know, you have incredible people from previous political administrations, White Houses, that have come aboard with the ACLJ, and it doesn't happen without supporters like you. So they're going to be joining us later in this broadcast, but we are in the middle of our matching challenge, and I don't want to lose sight of that as well, which we can't do this without you. So if you have a minute and you are thinking about where you're going to put your resources, the ACLJ is a great place to do it. All you have to do is go to aclj.org, make any donation. If you $5, $25, $50, so on and so on and so on, any donation made is matched by another donor who is out there ready to match. Essentially, they have pledged that amount and they are waiting for your donation. Once your donation is made, it unlocks their matching donation. So really great. It's a great time to support. If you ever thought about supporting our work, this is a perfect time to do it. Again, later on in the broadcast, we are going to be talking with Mike Pompeo and Rick Grenell. We're also going to be talking about what's going on, as you said, in China, what's going on the international front. We do spend a lot of time on the work that we do domestically, but we have offices around the world. Some we can talk about, some we don't talk about. But you can find out so much more information. You can watch all of our incredible videos. You can read incredible blogs and news stories by some of these top leaders by just going to aclj.org. It's really simple. Will, you go to aclj.org, download all of this content, read, get engaged. Not only just support the work, obviously follow us on our social media platforms and all of that, but there is a treasure trove of content there that I think a lot of people maybe take for granted.
And a lot of the experts you hear on air here or on our social channels also are writing for the website. So not only Mike Pompeo, but Harry Hutchison, Wes Smith, Jordan, and your dad have articles up all the time about all this content, about all these stories, about all these policy issues that we care about and are engaged on, as well as things like the victory we saw this week where we got a consent decree against the Smithsonian. None of that can help, without your help at aclj.org by making that gift.
Well, in this broadcast, we try to break down a lot of it, and same with on the website, into sort of terms we can all understand. It's easy. We're a legal organization to get caught up in sort of the legal mumbo jumbo that maybe you're not comfortable with. You read and you go, I don't know what this means, what that means. We have a great team of writers who take some of these expert voices also and make sure it's actually understandable. That's something that I find very important. We have great writers who can break it down for you and for me. So us who are not lawyers can really understand the incredible work that's going on and find out stuff about like what's happening in China, the influence that they're having on our nation, and what we can do to help change that and change minds here at the ACLJ. Again, I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ by going to aclj.org. Go there right now. Make a donation. Your gifts are doubled this month. It doesn't mean when you give $10, you're getting charged $20. It means when you give $10, another person, another incredible donor, another incredible ACLJ member matches that donation. And we could not do it without you. Again, coming up later in the broadcast, Rick Grenell will be joining us. You always enjoy when he is on. A lot of great information coming from him and from Mike Pompeo. Again, two of our members of the ACLJ who've been with us for the last few years, and we couldn't do it without you. So again, visit aclj.org. If you're watching on Rumble right now, I encourage you to hit that follow button to tell your friends, because we're growing and growing on Rumble. I want to thank them for all of their support over the last few years. An incredible operation going on there. Really like those guys over at Rumble. All right, we'll be right back with more on Seculo.
joined by former Secretary of State and CIA Director Mike Pompeo, a Senior Counsel for Global Affairs at the ACLJ. I want to get right into this, Secretary Pompeo, because now we've heard from a second intelligence agency within the U.S. government, the Department of Energy, and this is coming out, an interesting time, too, about reasons why, but has concluded that the COVID-19 pandemic stemmed from a lab leak, and that came from their intelligence sources. That kind of follows the FBI that came to a similar assessment, which was very different than what we were being told by the government and a lot of talking heads in the science world early on that said it was basically impossible. What's your reaction to the news of this latest DOE assessment?
Well, Jordan, they're getting close to getting right. As I have said since, I think it's March of 2020, the almost certain location that this virus began was in the laboratory, the WIV laboratory in Wuhan, China. I think that the Chinese Communist Party government knew about this since at least the fall of 19, and they covered it up in all the ways that we seem to have forgotten. But to have the Department of Energy come out and say that, it's good. The State Department, under my leadership, made a lot of the evidence available in the public. It is pretty clear, Jordan, that while nothing is certain with respect to this because the Chinese covered it up, it is almost certain that this virus began in a laboratory in Wuhan, China, and then was sent around the world at the direction of Xi Jinping.
You know, Mike, you tweeted out yesterday that there was always enormous evidence that the Wuhan coronavirus leaked from the Wuhan labs you just discussed, and I'm glad the Department of Energy recognizes reality. It's past time to make the CCP pay. I have been saying that same thing. We have a trade situation with the Communist Party of China. They own a lot of U.S. debt. They wreaked havoc on the United States and the rest of the world, for that matter. Making them pay looks like what, in your view? What would that look like?
So it's hard. That's a very important point. It's hard to put it in isolation, but think about the lives lost and the billions of dollars destroyed, not only here in the United States, but around the world. The Chinese Communist Party should be on the hook for that.
Yep.
There are mechanisms by which, you know this. You've litigated things much, much like this before at the ACLJ. I'm sure you guys are thinking about it now, too. So there are tools to do that. But it first and foremost takes a U.S. government that is prepared to do what I talked about in that tweet, which was lay out the evidence publicly, the things that we know about how this escaped from the lab. And so there is a compensation mechanism. There are tools that we can impose real costs on them. The Biden administration made an enormous mistake by re-entering the World Health Organization,
yep,
the very international group designed to prevent pandemics, that came out and said the Chinese are doing a great job. It seems like so long ago. You know, they said, hey, Xi Jinping's doing a great job. Well, millions of people now have died as a result of the decisions that the Chinese Communist Party leadership made.
You know, I just want to follow up on that if I can, and that is when you all were in office, I had conversations dealing with this issue of compensation to the United States and like you said, and the rest of the world for the havoc that this brought. There were multiple mechanisms which can be utilized in international tribunals, among other things, that could have really had an impact on this. This administration, Mr. Secretary, doesn't seem to be so interested in that. Hopefully we get a new administration in a couple of years. It's not too late. There's no statute of limitations issue here. Would you take direct action if you were calling the shots on this?
100%. It's decent. It's moral. It's right. It will also benefit the world and the American people by reducing the risk that this will ever happen again. We shouldn't forget, Jay, that lab that we're all talking about, it seems like history, it's still open. It's still engaged in the same kind of research. I hope there's no American money, as it appears that there was, to do gain-of-function research there. So I hope we've gotten smarter about that. I don't know what the State Department is doing. But the reason one goes after this, the reason that you want to make clear that the Chinese Communist Party has to be held accountable is not only to recompense those who were harmed, but to deter them from doing this again. They're still at it. They're still engaged in these programs. It is just a thread in the cloth, right? They flew a balloon over us. You could go through the list. Chinese Communist Party presents a real danger, and we have to hold them accountable on every front.
Yeah, going to that, I wanted to switch to China and their role in Ukraine. So they put out a 12-point peace plan. We are continuing to send military aid to Ukraine, but we have seen nothing like that from the U.S. government publicly, at least, a plan to how would this come to a conclusion. But what do you think about and how the world is viewing, I guess, China's attempt at being a a peacemaker, if you will, and trying to be a major leader on the world stage.
You sound appropriately skeptical there, Jordan. Look, this peace plan is no more than a Russian propaganda document. It calls for an immediate ceasefire, gives Putin the time to rearm, rebuild, and to continue his efforts. The Chinese are not remotely serious at this. And worse, this iron triangle between Russia and China and Iran now appears to be strengthening. Weapons going back and forth, energy being transferred from these places. The three of them decided that they, 150 plus countries around the world, they have two friends apiece, and that is real risk. The Chinese Communist Party is greenlighting Vladimir Putin's destruction of the nation of Israel.
You have up on ACLJ.org a piece called Biden's Weakness on Full Display After a Year of Russia's War on Ukraine, and it's not getting any better. The truth is, it's not getting any better. Where is, based on, you ran the CIA too, so you've got a wealth of knowledge here in addition to being Secretary of State. Where does this go in the next 6 months or a year?
Jay, the other thing I have an advantage of is I did get to spend time with Vladimir Putin as well.
Yep.
If we continue, my point was, and by the way, there are many conservatives that disagree with me. I just think we've got to bring this war to an end, and there's only one way to do that, and that is to give the Ukrainians the tools that they need to be successful. In the absence of that, if we dribble them out, if we provide them slowly, if we think about it for a year because we're afraid we're going to provoke Vladimir Putin, then I fear that a year from now we will be sitting looking at something that looks like World War One. It will be a stalemate. More innocent civilians killed in Ukraine, that's bad. Vladimir Putin still in control of Ukrainian territory and feeling like time is on his side, that's bad. But most importantly for the United States and the people here, you'll still have all of the ramifications that we can see so plainly now. Last, Xi Jinping's watching this one too. If a year from now America continues to just provide piecemeal assistance, I promise you Xi Jinping will see that as a green light to act in the South Pacific and against Taiwan as well.
The last thing here, and that is, kind of going on to a domestic front for a moment, and that is this: the way the country is operating right now reminds me, a lot of people aren't going to remember this, but I do, and that is the Jimmy Carter years. It just has that malaise. Stock market erratic, inflation high, unemployment low, which is good that unemployment's low, but job salaries are not keeping up with inflation when it's up at 8%. There is this general sense of frustration. I mean, you saw a majority of the Democrats polled do not want Joe Biden to run again. So politically, how do we recharge with optimism going forward for the generation that's behind us?
The good old-fashioned way. I'm convinced. This we're going to figure this out here in America. I've been out all across the country last year and a half. People are fired up. People get that their kids are being taught garbage in schools and they are taking back control. Parents are taking back control. I've seen folks do this in their churches and their synagogues all across America. They are saying, we're going to go restore the greatness of America from the ground up. That's how we do it. That's how we've always done it. I'm convinced that there will be leaders, not just folks that run for president or Senate, but city councilmen, district attorneys, school board members all across the country who say, yep, we're headed the wrong direction. We're going to go fix it. They'll take it on their own shoulders. And that the American family will be stronger as a result of that. Our faith communities will be, and America will get back to the right place. I'm very confident of that, Jay.
Yeah, very good.
As always, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. Great insight. Great to have you on the team. I want to go to your phones, folks. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air for you to weigh in. That's 1-800-684-3110. Michelle is calling in from California online, too. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I have a comment and a question. So the comment is, I think everyone with half a brain thinks that COVID originated from the lab, and I do think that Fauci bears responsibility as well. And my question is, why is this coming out now? Because we don't trust the FBI. They knew this information before, so what's going on?
I think here's what's happening. The consensus of the intelligence, and this is kind of what Mike and what Rick said, there's a consensus now with the intelligence community. And what's happening is it's getting leaked out in these, like, energy, FBI, and it's now they're going to have to get in control of this because even CNN and MSNBC are having to cover this. Your support of the ACLJ and all these issues that we just discussed in this segment are really critical. this is how we engage on these issues. And that's where your support comes. And I encourage you to go to aclj.org and stand with us in our matching challenge campaign. Jordan's going to lay out how that works for you, but it's really important that we hear from you.
So it's simple. What we do is we have a group of donors that are loyal to ACLJ that come together and say, we will match the donations that come through in the month of March to ACLJ. So if you make a $50 donation right now at aclj.org, that group of donors will match that donation. Without your initial action and your donation, we don't get that matching promise. That only occurs through you taking action and donating, which you do online at aclj.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see matching challenge. Can't miss it. Takes a couple of minutes to donate at aclj.org. Be a part of that match. All right, welcome back to Sankey. We're taking your calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. I want to play the sound because it's been quite a reversal in the media. And even the questions they have to Republican members of Congress. Take a listen to this, Chuck Todd talking to Dan Sullivan from Alaska.
If our intelligence community over time determines, this is the majority view, and it's the U.S. government's view, that this was a lab leak in China and that government covered it up, what should be the consequences?
Well, I think we need to have public hearings on this and really dig into it. Think about what just happened over the last 3 years. One of the biggest pandemics in a century. A lot of evidence that it's coming from the Chinese. And when other countries even raise it, like Australia, the Chinese use their coercive economic activities to shut people up.
But NBC was using its own channel to shut people up in America.
Correct.
And name calling. So Chuck Todd, he asked very tough there. You know, what are we going to do now? Well, maybe if we hadn't spent 3 years saying it wasn't, then we'd have a little bit more evidence left over.
Yeah,
and if we forced the World Health Organization in, if we forced inspectors in on China and said, you know what, if you don't allow inspectors in, that debt you've got on the U.S.
Good luck, yeah. Right?
Or we're not selling you this, we're not buying you this, whatever. We're sanctioning you this way.
Yeah,
but we didn't do any of that, and NBC itself didn't do any of that. This is their other host. Just 2 years ago. I guess you would have said this, Joy Reid, to Chuck Todd, to even a question like that by 31.
Just weeks ago, Dr. Anthony Fauci rejected the conspiracy that coronavirus was man-made in a lab in Wuhan, China. And yet this week, Donald Trump is still pushing the debunked bunkum.
The debunked bunkum, except now the FBI and the Department of Energy said it is likely that this was created in a lab in Wuhan, China. Now, there are consequences for this, folks. And you can't just give them a free pass. And this administration's giving a free pass. And the media, let's focus on that for a moment, should be embarrassed. And it doesn't, and MSNBC, although Chuck Todd's now sounding high and mighty, well, this is very serious. If this was an intentional act or even an unintentional act in a Chinese lab, different than what we thought before, and then, Congressman Sullivan rightly says we'll do oversight hearings. That's all great. But MSNBC and NBC were peddling this, saying that Chinese anybody propaganda. That questioned it was engaged in, tinfoil hat stuff.
Yeah, they're peddling Chinese propaganda. We play Chris Hayes, too. I mean, this was all in the same month. This is May of 2020.
A lot of people on the right love that phrase, escape from the lab, because it sounds like something from a Marvel movie or a comic book. Both scientists and the U.S. intelligence community agree that this coronavirus was not man-made. That is not a possibility.
Okay, these guys, they're all wrong, these reporters.
Well, here we had doctors. This is, again, on MSNBC, same month, same year, all in May. This is from a doctor, so it must be true, by 24.
There are virus hunters out there that have looked at what's the most likely cause, and there's no debate here. Among serious people, there is no debate. This was most likely what we call a zoonotic disease. It went from animal to human, likely in a market in Wuhan. It's not uncommon.
Well, Dr. Vin Gupta, interesting statement. He called it a
no debate.
No debate. No way this could be. People are chasing this down. They're all wrong.
You never want doctors to say no debate either. I don't even know what kind of doctor he is.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, there should always be options to doctors.
Now, here's the problem. The media was promoting this.
Yeah, I don't.
We can't even discuss that. Maybe. And by the way, what was it for? What did the media have to gain by trying to protect the Chinese Communist Party here?
That's what I don't understand.
Right.
The bigger NBC financial interest in China, which is bigger than their news department.
Yes.
Keeping sports on, keeping their Marvel movies. People talk about Marvel movies. I think Chris Hayes talking about making sure those get played. Yeah. You know, it, there was a lot of backlash by the American people. Ask John Cena about it when he started speaking in Mandarin in those ads. And this is during COVID. It did not play well. So now that I think they're going to try to make a reversal like this never happened.
Well, they're already doing that. I think the problem is we know, look, we have two people on our staff. One was the former Secretary of State, head of the CIA. The other was the former Director of National Intelligence. They said this has been known for years.
Yeah.
The problem with this administration is they do not want to hold the Chinese Communist Party accountable, and they had complicity in the media. And the media covered this up with them. And anybody that questioned it, like I said, why would the media care if it was in a lab or if it was in a wet market? What difference would that make to the media? What you should be doing is just finding out what the options are, what's legit. But they went on a rampage to say, oh, no, there is no way. There's no evidence. It's doctor's. I'm going to play that doctor's statement again because I'm going to tell you something. This, to me, sums up the problem with the mainstream media.
There are virus hunters out there that have looked at what's the most likely cause. And there's no debate here. Among serious people, there is no debate. This was most likely what we call a zoonotic disease. It went from animal to human, likely.
Zoonotic disease sounds really impressive. Virus hunters are looking at this. No debate. Serious people, because if you question this, you're not a serious person. That's like when somebody calls themselves a public intellectual. They're a public intellectual. Okay, let me tell you what this is. Media complicity in a pandemic that harmed the United States significantly, wreaked havoc to families and kids with school children, families that lost loved ones around the globe, not just the United States. So now my question is, okay, so now the FBI and the Department of Energy said, most likely this was from the lab that the United States funded, by the way. So that's part of it. Anthony Fauci saying there's no way that's correct. You know, I don't know what they were protecting China so aggressively in all this, and they still are. That's like letting a balloon that is a spy device traverse the entire of the United States and then shoot it down when it's over Hilton Head after it's already gotten all its data and sent it back to the Chinese party. That's aggressive. And then don't worry, they're going to go up, and they've got three unidentified balloons, which literally were balloons, and they shot those down too. This is what's happening when you've got this kind of leadership in the White House. Does anybody listen to this broadcast think for a moment China's going to be held accountable for this under this administration? I don't, but I am encouraged that Jim Jordan and our friends in Congress and Oversight are going to get to the bottom of some of this.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is, you know, aside from this, as unfortunately we don't have a Republican House and Senate.
Yeah.
So we don't have a unified Congress to push back.
There would have been some action then, we know.
Yes, alluded to that for people on the broadcast. So we've had to rework kind of the strategies when it there is a House.
Was going to be, we were going to have a special select committee. There would have been outside lawyers involved, and you would have gotten to the bottom of a lot of this.
Yeah.
So with subpoena power.
Now it's only the House has subpoena power. Yeah. These committees have subpoena power. But again, when we talk about elections and consequences, there is this idea on the left of protecting China.
I would like to bring these doctors. These why don't we offer these doctors a moment to come on the air here and discuss it? What they're saying. See what they say. Oh, yes, we still think it's, you know, not possible. I like to also, you know, let's get Chuck Todd on here. Because this was what you really have. That's the problem with all of this. You want to play the Jonathan?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah, it's just the nastiness of all of everything combined. Now, we can all be nasty, too. I think it's a learning lesson for media, conservative media, too. You can name call you.
Do you remember they were censoring the meat
it's
Facebook
it's
and all
it's happening today as we
up?
Speak. We know it's happening to our YouTube account right now.
We do?
Yeah, because we put lab leak in the title.
So they're already flagging it?
They're still flagging it, I think is that the term. It's not new. They're still flagging lab leak. Again, because
Sorry,
they have financial.
Glad our friends at Rumbles don't.
They
Rumble
have financial interests that are bigger than the truth in China, these companies.
Oh, obviously, and that's what's doing it. We can hold China
Including
accountable,
Including
most folks.
Of the media outlets.
We can hold China accountable. Support the work of the ACLJ because we're going to get to the bottom of this. Whether we have to do FOIAs, whether working with Congress, whatever it is, we're going to get involved. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Also, stay engaged with us on all of our social media. And you do that by going at Jordan Seculo, at Jay Seculo, excuse me, at Logan Seculo, and at ACLJ. And it's on True Social, of course, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you have your social media. ACLJ is there. We encourage you to stay engaged with us that way. We have a lot more coming ahead tomorrow on the broadcast. Have a great day.